Now moving back to page number two, items number 10 and 11. We are going to have a discussion, and I would like to thank everybody who is here to answer questions, and let's get to the bottom of what we do. I would like to briefly just state, in my career, I've done hundreds of serious service failure investigations, and my focus is going to be on four items, which is, you know, how it was discovered, first of all. Then I'd like to know what action took place as soon as it was discovered, and what has been put in place to stop it from ever happening again, obviously. And one of my focuses is going to be on the frontline supervisors. What action was taken on them, not specific, but, you know, was there discussions? And then were they part of the action plan to actually fix it and be there? So in other words, they're the frontline supervisors. They have some ownership in this. Were they part of, you know, bringing it from the bottom up instead of the top down? Those are my questions. So with that, if people would, when you speak, if you would just say your name for the record and everything so we can and have that, and I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks again, Dr. Burstein, if you want to start.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Gail Burstein. I'm the Erie County Health Commissioner, and I want to thank you for inviting me today to discuss the fraudulent food service facility inspection reports filed last year, the actions that were taken to remedy the situation, and the proactive measures the Department of Health is taking to prevent such an incident from occurring in the future. So as background, let me begin by first providing a brief overview of the permitted programs unit within the Division of Environmental Health. So the Department of Health's Division of Environmental Health is broken into two sections, each headed by a Deputy Director of Environmental Health. The non-permitted programs section deals with items that do not have associated health permits and generally are not mandated. This includes programs ranging from rodent control all the way to lead poisoning prevention. The other section, which we will discuss today, is the permitted programs unit. This unit deals with an array of facilities which are inspected and regulated by the Department of Health under the New York State and Erie County sanitary codes. I want to emphasize that this does not just include restaurants. The permitted facilities team inspects pools, beaches, migrant labor camps, mobile home parks, campgrounds, rooming houses, children's camps, hotels and motels, tattoo parlors, daycares, septic systems, and of course, both permanent and temporary food service establishments. All told, in Erie County, there are 5,697 permitted facilities, as well as a number 2,150 annual temporary food service permits and 1,330 annual sewage-related service requests. Overall, there's been a steady growth in the number of permitted facilities in Erie County from 4,513 in 2011 to 5,697 today. So that's over 1,000 increase. 20 investigating public health sanitarians and 5 senior investigating public health sanitarians, who are the first line managers and supervisors, are assigned to this program, as well as 2 supervising sanitarians who oversee the permitted program's work. Our frontline manager, the senior investigating public health sanitarians, also do a high number of inspections themselves. So sanitarians are generally assigned to a designated geographic area, which will serve as their main territory, although as circumstances dictate, they may do inspections elsewhere in the county. Since 2010, the Department of Health has utilized a software system known as HealthSpace to track and manage all our inspections. Each morning, Health Space will generate for the sanitarian a list of the inspections in their area that will be coming due, and that serves as a tool for them to schedule their day. The Health Space automates that process and also serves to manage the records and share all food service reports online for the public to see. And actually, you can check this out ourselves on our website at healthspace.com/E-R-I-E-N-Y. So we aim to inspect all standard restaurant facilities twice a year, and simpler food service establishments like an ice cream shop once a year. Generally speaking, other permitted facilities like camps and tattoo parlors are inspected once a year. Our field sanitarians themselves go through a rigorous 3-year process before they can become independent. They do not only need to pass a civil service test, they must all pass a training course from New York State and undergo a year of one-on-one field training and additional years of close supervision. Sanitarians need to be conscientious and self-motivated because we do place a lot of trust in them. Despite their high degree of training, and there has always been a quality assurance protocol in place for our field inspection. Every single inspection report was checked for accuracy by a supervisor. All violations were checked against the sanitary code, and proper documentation was verified. So this quality assurance system, which is commonly used throughout New York State, was designated to ensure inspection report accuracy. So this quality assurance process is ultimately what led to the discovery of fraud on the part of our now former investigation public health sanitarian, Timothy Bean. On December 14th, 2018, during routine inspection report review, a supervisor noted that two inspection reports had been filed for the same Tim Hortons located location for the previous day on December 13th. A review of the reports led supervisors to believe that Mr. Bean's report was falsified. Management immediately confronted Mr. Bean and began an investigation. Over the next 2 business days, supervisors investigated additional inspection reports from Mr. Bean and determined that additional reports had been falsified. During this time period, Mr. Bean's work was closely monitored by a supervisor, following up on to confirm every single inspection that he submitted a report for. On December 19th, after the verification of multiple falsified reports, Mr. Bean was removed from inspection duties. At this point, I was informed of the situation by Environmental Health Director Jennifer Delaney. I directed Environmental Health to engage with Labor Relations to prepare to terminate Mr. Bean. On December 20th and 21st, Mr. Bean took leave from work, and on the following Monday, December 24th, he tendered his resignation, citing health reasons. So during this time period, Environmental Health developed an action plan to review all of Mr. Bean's inspection reports going back 1 month and to schedule new inspections of location with suspicious inspection reports. A review of all of Mr. Bean's work found that 25 of Mr. Bean's reports were confirmed to be falsified or were unable to verify that the inspection was completed. An additional 14 inspections were verified to have been completed properly. All of those affected facilities were re-inspected over the following weeks. In addition, we have doubled the staff assigned to West Seneca Orchard Park, where Mr. Bean worked, to ensure that all permitted facilities in that territory will have new inspections as quick as possible. While we do not believe Mr. Bean's fraudulent activity has been conducted by any other Erie County Department of Health employees, new enhanced quality control measures have now been put in place. The enhanced quality control plan will include random, surprise field visits by supervisors and quality assurance surveys, including feedback from restaurant and other facility owners. We are also examining a way to have HealthSpace automate an email to permitted facility owners alerting them that their inspection report is online to view. After discussing the matter with the New York State Department of Health and many neighboring counties, we believe our new quality assurance program will be one of the strongest in New York State, and other counties have expressed an interest in reviewing our new policies and procedures. So the new quality assurance program will lead to less field time for senior investigating sanitarians, so they can for them to complete their own inspections. So they'll have to spend more time doing the supervision process, and they'll have less time available to do their own assigned inspections. But at this point, it's the trade-off that we really have to make. So ultimately, I believe Mr. Bean was a bad apple, and we are working to ensure his conduct does not undermine the otherwise excellent work of the Division of Environmental Health. I want to note that this is a very rare situation. No veterans of the Erie County Department of Health can recall a similar situation ever occurring. Neither could the New York State Department of Health. We've been told that Albany County and Onondaga County experienced inspector fraud at some point in the early 90s, but not since. There is no reason to believe that this is a systemic problem. Existing quality assurance systems led to Mr. Bean being caught, and our new and improved quality assurance systems will make it even harder to falsify reports in the future. So I want to reassure this honorable body that I take this matter extremely seriously. Protecting the public's health is my number one goal, and Mr. Bean's conduct undermined that important mission. And finally, I will note that after consulting with Assistant County Attorney Greg Kammer, my office ultimately referred Mr. Bean to the Erie County District Attorney for additional investigation. So I want to thank you for your time, and I welcome any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you. I want to focus on, like I said, the frontline supervisors. Morning routine. Do they have interaction with the sanitarians on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis? How often does that take place prior to, and is that going to be increased moving forward?
Well, I know that so much of the investigating sanitarians' work is out in the field. Just to be more efficient with their paid time, some days they don't come into the office at all because they're spending their time out in the field doing the inspections. And so I'm going to turn the remainder of the answer over to Jennifer Delaney.
Good morning.
Jennifer, can you just hold 1 second?
I can.
Just because I need to acknowledge Legislator Mills, Barbara Miller-Williams, and Legislator Loughran, too, for the record. So I apologize. Go ahead.
Our frontline supervisors do have regular interaction with our sanitarians. The sanitarians that are in the mornings can regularly go and speak with them at any time. They ask questions. They go over policies and procedures that we may have in place. Our offices, we have district offices within our group of sanitarians. They meet with their frontline supervisors on a regular basis. They do have meetings where everyone comes together and they can discuss issues, questions, problems, and policy issues.
Okay, and how often do those meetings take place?
They're about once a month.
All right. And the reasoning for my questioning here is emphatic that people who are bad apples happen in every walk of life that there is, okay? People do not come to work every day and give 100% every single day. I understand that. But there is that connection between that frontline supervisor, if it's done properly, and that employee that may discourage that employee from doing something this flagrant. And that's why I'm thinking along the lines of moving forward, some sort of interaction. I understand with that number of restaurants, they have to go see and they have to visit. They need to be on the road, you know, probably 9:30 to get there 10, you know, the hours are open and yet. So Dr. Burstein.
Right. So we, you know, with the enhanced quality control program that we're putting in place, we think that this will also discourage, you know, further falsifying of any inspection reports, because now the sanitarians will know that at any time a supervisor can call up, you know, any of the restaurants that they have submitted reports for and confirm that they actually were there and conducted the inspection. And they're also going to be asked about the quality of their services and if they were, you know, they did a good job, you know, explaining the violations and how to correct them and if they were courteous. And then also the second kind of, you know, in-person surprise auditing that we're going to be doing is actually supervisors actually going out to those, some of those restaurants, you know, randomly without notice and re-inspecting just to, you know, see that, like, oh yes, those were found. So we, you know, we are really going to be aggressive about confirming the, you know, the findings on the submitted reports.
With technology being today, is there, do they use county cars? Do they use their own vehicles? So is there a mileage report? Is, I mean, GPS systems? We have tracking systems for police, for highway. Do we have any sort of tracking system that we could implement or look into implementing in the future to say, okay, I was definitely at the Tim Hortons on Orchard Park Road?
Right. I mean, that's a good idea. We thought about that. However, sanitarians, because of budgetary constraints, use their own cars. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we can't really put in a tracking system in their own cars. So we rely on their written documentation.
Okay.
Their mileage is audited annually, though.
Could you say that?
There is an annual audit of their mileage, however.
Of their mileage. Okay. So do they receive a stipend for that? They do. Okay.
Right. Yeah. They're reimbursed for that.
Okay. And from the attorney's office, my other question would be, is it currently a crime to falsify county documents?
Hi, so this is Gregory Cameron, Assistant County Attorney, representing the County Department of Health. With respect to the criminal matter, it's been referred to the DA's office. It's not really our expertise in-house, and I can't really comment on the criminal aspect of things.
Okay. All right. Thank you. With that, I'd like to open it up to questions from anybody from the committee first, and then the other colleagues. Legislator Dixon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Dr. Burstein, Ben, Greg, and Jennifer. So do we know if Mr. Bean was not doing the inspections at that time, do we know what he was doing, if he was on county time?
During the time in question?
Yes.
We do not have any information about what he was doing on his county time when he was not inspecting.
And so he's been with the county, or had been with the county since 2006?
Yes.
How long had he been an inspector? Had he been an inspector since 2006, do we know?
Yes.
Do we have any idea how many inspections he's done over that period of time, over those 12 years? It's hard to say.
I don't have a number for that.
I mean, you know, what we can say is in this past fall, we documented a drop-off in productivity, and so where most inspectors are able to complete, like, you know, 5 or 6 inspections per day, he was only submitting reports for a couple of inspections. So, you know, again, that was caught through our QA process. Mm-hmm. And the supervisor addressed this with Mr. Bean And that's and so then the number of reports after that interaction that were submitted increased.
So on every inspection report, excuse me, there are two signatures, correct? There's the health inspector in the restaurant, the facilities person in charge.
Or the you know the I mean the owner the may not be there,
right,
and so the person that was you know the highest level of supervision or management at the restaurant will accompany the inspector and then sign off on the report.
Do we know that? So Mr. Bean signed his own name. Do we know if he forged the person in charge's signature every time?
Well, yes. I mean, that is the way that we were able to determine that the reports were falsified. We would during that period of investigation, when the supervising sanitarians would contact the restaurants that we had, suspicion that Mr. Bean had inspected, and the first question was asking about the person who signed the report. And for those falsified reports, he made up a name, and so we asked, does this person work here? And they said, because the signature is on the report, and they said they've never heard of them. So that was part of our quality assurance process. But there, but remember, there were, during the period we investigated, there were 25 falsified and 14 confirmed valid investigations.
And then again, we don't know what he was doing during those times that he falsified, but he was technically on county time at that point.
Yeah, I believe the DA has an investigator assigned to that question.
Right, yeah, we.
Sure. Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay, questions, Legislator Rigo?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Gail, Ben, everybody, Greg, Jennifer, thank you for the presentation and the conversation. Obviously, it's something very serious, and it seems like you guys are taking the steps to correct it. I guess, one of the things that you mentioned is that, now supervisors can call anytime to the restaurants and or go and, do like spot checks and, make sure that the inspector or the sanitarium was already there and did his or her job. Why wasn't a procedure like that in place before? Could a supervisor not call a restaurant in the past and say, hey, sanitarian X was supposed to be here. Was he or she there?
Right. Well, our quality assurance process was really aimed at confirming the accuracy of the submitted reports. And when we called around the surrounding counties and actually other counties in upstate New York, this is really the standard of how quality assurance was being conducted for restaurant inspections and other facility inspections throughout New York State. And so, we had really didn't have the experience of someone falsifying reports, and other counties have a similar lack of this type of experience. At that time, up until now, we didn't find that there was a need to implement these additional quality assurance. And then also, as I described, we have a huge burden of number of facilities, not just restaurants, but other type of facilities that we need to inspect. And so up until now, we've really tried to maximize the supervisor's time, not just supervising, but also assigning them restaurants to inspect to hopefully pick up the slack and prevent us from becoming further behind. Right now we have about an 8% lag of up-to-date restaurant inspections, and we anticipate that will increase because the supervising sanitarians will have less time devoted to doing their own inspections because they'll be spending more time with the QA process.
When you say in the past that you were that the supervisor spent more time confirming the accuracy of the reports. What do you mean? Like, that what was accurate? That the violations were accurate?
Right, that the violations matched with the description that were matched with the actual violations, and that they were accurate in terms of the Erie County and New York State sanitary codes.
So, for example, you know, if someone had meat in a cooler that was not the right temperature, your supervisors were checking to see if, you know, that was violation, you know, 2E1, and that matched up with, you know, meat in a cooler that was the wrong temperature.
Right, and then it was categorized correctly as either a critical or non-critical violation.
But we weren't checking the accuracy of the inspections, just the what was written down.
Right. That is basically the standard in New York, upstate New York. And now we are going to be putting in place, because of this experience, enhanced quality assurance program. And actually, other counties are very curious to see what we're going to be doing. So we'll actually become like the role model for other counties for enhanced quality control.
Do we have any idea how long Mr. Beam was doing this before he ended up tripping up himself and getting caught?
No, I mean, we don't have any evidence. All we know is that we suspect that it started in the fall, because his, as I described earlier, his productivity dropped, and then he was counseled by his supervisor, and then all of a sudden they increased. And so we think that increase was due to a submission of falsified reports. However, you know, we can't prove that. All we know is during the time period we investigated, there were 25 false reports and 14 valid reports.
How many restaurants do we have roughly in Erie County that that are inspected annually?
Let's see.
Or twice a year?
Right. We have 5,697.
And how many sanitarians do we have?
We have 20 sanitarians and then 5 inspecting sanitarians.
Senior.
And then, sorry?
Senior.
Right, senior sanitarians who inspect and do their, supervise the sanitarians, and then 2 managing sanitarians.
So I guess roughly how many restaurants is each inspecting sanitarian going to on an annual basis? We can do the math. You know, you guys have the numbers in front of you.
Right. Well, most restaurants, the standard restaurants are supposed to receive 2 inspections a year.
Right.
And then kind of the simple restaurants, say like a food truck that maybe just has 3 items, and then that were a fast food restaurant that just has a couple items, those only get inspected once a year. And so if you do the math, it's 227 inspections per year.
Thank you for doing that math, Ben. How much of your budget is devoted towards these types of inspections, whether it's for restaurant inspections or tattoo parlors, those types of things? Do you have like a percentage base?
I can get you a percentage. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Although keep in mind, for health's overall budget, special needs is our big dog. The rest are a little smaller.
And what falls under special needs? Does this?
No. That's the special needs division for children that have special needs.
Okay.
Early intervention special needs.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is, you know, we spend a lot of money on a lot of different things in Erie County. The safety of our residents should be of paramount concern, and you know, I think your department does a great job. And I think, you know, whenever you come to the legislature, I'm always impressed at how prepared you and Ben are, quite frankly. And even if you're not here, and Gail, I'll give you credit for whenever there is a major issue, you're here and you step out in front of it. So I appreciate that. You know, we have mid-year budget hearings coming up in a few months. If this is something that needs to be addressed to make sure that, you know, restaurants are being, you know, inspected properly and the residents of Erie County are protected from foodborne illness. You know, there was just another press conference you had with the county executive earlier this week about hepatitis A, and not necessarily saying the two are related, but they certainly could be with regard to inspections. So, you know, I'm glad that we're changing up what we've been doing and that there's going to be a system in place where the supervisors can call and double check. But going back, if there weren't two reports filed for the same Tim Hortons in one day, there's no way we could have caught this.
Well, let me try to answer a few of the questions. Right. So, first of all, in the our proposed 2019 budget included an additional sanitarian position that was not included in the final budget. And then also with just in terms of the previous quality control status, the permits for restaurants have a time limit. They're only good for a year, mm-hmm. And so we believe that a restaurant owner or manager would become concerned if their permit expires and they're operating illegally. So we assume that they would call us and say, "Hey, where you been?" So that's another system in place by limiting the length of the permit.
Often does that happen? How often does a restaurant call in and say, "Hey, you haven't been here in a while"? I mean, I don't think that there's any real small business owners that are wanting to to fly under the radar, but maybe they are.
After Mr. Bean's activities were highlighted by the media, we did receive a question from one of our local restaurants saying, "Hey, where you been?"
Well, that's good. I guess the concern is, and I'm thankful to hear that I represent the town of West Seneca. Mr. Mills represents Orchard Park. I'm sure he's also glad to hear that, those restaurants are being, sort of double teamed to make sure that everything is okay. But, going and saying that there hasn't been an issue like this across the state since the early 90s, without having the procedures in place to really double check that, we don't know. We don't know if it could have happened in the past. We don't know if it's happening right now. I'm sure right now all of our sanitarians are, going out there and making sure that they're doing things the right way. But, maybe Mr. Bean got this idea from somebody else. And I think that's something that, could be looked into maybe with the DA's office, maybe not. But
right. Well, we don't have any evidence that any other sanitarian was conducting this activity. And so because of our experience with this falsifying reports, we are responding by putting additional quality control measures in place. I mean, that's really what we want to do. We want to move forward and ensure that this never happens again.
Do restaurants currently get the same inspector in order to maintain continuity?
Well, with the now that we have each inspector has a designated area, usually it would be the same inspector, right? Right. So
how long has that been the practice?
Yeah, about 5 years.
Okay.
We did this because again, to increase efficiency. It doesn't make sense for an inspector to have on the same day an assignment in Springville and then an assignment in Clarence.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of unnecessary travel time. So that's why, in order to improve efficiency, we gave every inspector a confined territory to minimize their travel time and increase their productivity of inspections.
Do the inspectors get county vehicles?
They use their own vehicles.
Is there any way, going forward to whether they're in county vehicles or their own vehicle, perhaps, use a GPS system to track, where they're going and what they're doing? Can we do that when they're on the clock at least?
You didn't like that question when I asked it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be up maybe a labor relations question if we can low-jack people's vehicles. I don't know.
Just something interesting.
Okay. Joe, can I wind it up and get to everybody? If there is time, I gladly will come back. All right, thank you. Legislator Miller-Williams.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today to share the information. I have a couple of questions. One is in reference to the fact that you went back 30 days to do the review. Why 30 days versus 60 or 90 days. Is that based on the fact that you said that you saw his productivity going down, but that was beyond the 30 days? Why did you go 30 days back?
That's a good question. And so there are three reasons why we decided to limit the look-back period to 30 days. I mean, first of all, there's a problem with recall bias. So if we called a restaurant owner and say, hey, 6 months ago, do you remember this guy in your restaurant? I don't know if we would be able to receive a valid response. Number two, we all aware there is oftentimes high staff turnover in restaurants. So the person, even though an inspection may have been done 4 or 5 months ago, that person who was at the inspection from the restaurant may not be working there. And then number three, we feel that we have limited number of staff, and our priorities is to ensure good food safety practices of restaurants. So instead of spending our time trying to, with the given challenges I just stated of recall and staff turnover going back more than a month's time, we decided to increase the resources and increase the number of inspectors in Mr. Bean's area to make sure that all those inspections are in that area are done in a timely fashion to prevent any lag of increased duration of a foregone inspection in that area. So, again, our number one goal is food safety, and we thought that was the best strategy to enhance food safety.
And then I only have one more question, which will go along with the response I think that you were just sharing with us. In reference to the number of employees, you indicated that you doubled the number of employees to get into the particular area so that you can clear up, catch up, etc. What happens to the areas where these inspectors are being pulled from? Because you're doubling the staff in one area, what about the rest of the county? How is that going to be covered?
So we are looking at workload and divvying up some of the areas. So people we pulled were from areas that may have been slightly ahead of schedule or were 100% on schedule at that point. It will cause us to have to go back and pick up the pace a little bit to keep them on track. And our goal is to be able to do that before the summer activities begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's
okay.
All I have.
Thank you. Legislator Mills.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, Dr. Bernstein. How are you?
Good morning. Well, thanks.
I got several questions because I happen to be in the food business. What did Mr. Beam do before he came to the county? Anybody know? What was his employment?
Oh, sorry, we're unaware.
Okay, just curious. When he was brought on board, what kind of a time span of training did they get?
Well, as I mentioned in my opening remarks, I mean, first, they have to score highly on a civil service exam. Second, they have to pass a rigorous New York State training. Third, they have to spend one-on-one time out in the field with a senior sanitarian. And so they initially start with inspecting, more simple restaurants that have more of a limited menu. And after the senior sanitarian feels that the new sanitarian is competent in that area, they will progress to more complicated restaurants. And that will also usually take an additional year. So, we feel that this is a very important task, and it involves a lot of knowledge and skills, and we make sure that we invest the time to make sure that each inspecting sanitarian understands how to do their job.
Do you have any reason to believe that any of your inspectors are being paid off by the restaurants to fudge the documents they have to submit to the health department?
We have no knowledge, and that would be part of the DA's investigation.
I know, but it would start with your department.
I'm sorry?
It would start with your department identifying if that is happening.
We have no evidence that that is occurring.
I'm just suggesting that may be looked at by your department just to see that nothing funny is going on out there. The reason I bring it up because I have heard funny things going on out there. Just some suggestions here. We're inspected. My facility is inspected by New York State Ag and Markets, and believe it or not, the FDA and USDA, even though we don't fall into those benchmarks, okay? And we just had an inspection by the New York State Ag and Markets, and they are contracting now with the federal government to do the FDA inspections. And the reason I bring this up is, are we doing, in our department, are we exchanging information with New York State Ag and Markets, because they do restaurant inspections?
We exchange information usually more under the situation of an outbreak. So in a supermarket, for example, remember the Wegmans hepatitis A scare, so we worked with Ag and Markets. Also, we've worked with Ag and Markets with the Mighty Taco investigation, right? Because that the source of that outbreak was food that was purchased from a distributor. So are there other situations?
We have been known to work with Ag and Markets with certain facilities like breweries in determining who's going to take regulation over that. We do have discussions with them regarding inspections of some of those facilities when it comes to other work that we're doing in the area. So we do regularly speak with them.
You know, 'cause my concern is maybe there's some information they can provide to us that we may miss on an inspection. They go out and do it, I think, basically maybe once a year, maybe twice a year. I'm not quite sure. We get it once a year. Maybe a restaurant gets it twice a year. I don't know. But just exchanging more information may be helpful to us at our level here. And did you mention, Dr. Bernstein, that before this incident was discovered that we used to call restaurants and tell them you're coming?
No. These inspections are unannounced.
Yeah, they should be. They are with Ag and Markets. I just thought I caught something like, now we're doing it, and we weren't doing it before.
No, we are calling the restaurants for follow-up okay. QA.
Just that, but there's spot inspections that are unannounced.
Right.
By our team.
Right.
People.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense to,
It didn't make
allow
sense
them
to me.
To
I mean, the coffee didn't kick in yet, but yeah, it didn't make sense to me. We'd call and say we're on our way.
No, when we contact the restaurants around an inspection, it's, in post inspection just to ensure that. All the policies and procedures were followed by the inspector, and also asking about the inspector's courteousness and mannerisms, and able to explain and educate.
Thank you.
Okay, Legislator Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate everybody being here today. I just wanted to comment that I agree with the premise of. Having these inspectors in certain geographic areas so they're not bouncing all over. But I would just think that it should not be permanent, because I think you run the risk of these inspectors and these owners building a relationship. It's human nature that you build a relationship with them, and I think you run the risk of compromising these inspections by that happening. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Legislator Rath.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dr. Burstein, and everyone for being here today. Appreciate your testimony. I want to follow up on some of the comments that were made about the Department of Health's changes to the food safety practices. And the first question I have ties in with how much it's going to cost, or how is the administration and the bureaucracy of all of these changes to food safety practices with oversight and manpower, adding or changing workload. Any idea what the cost impact is going to be on your department?
Well, it's the same staff that's going to be doing that work. So right now, we don't anticipate additional costs because we don't have additional staffing costs.
For now, you don't know what it's going to mean in the future once you're rolling out these new best practices.
And we feel that this is a priority area to ensure food safety. So we're rolling it out, and we'll see what happens.
I'm not questioning that at all. I'm just curious as to when you do change things. Sometimes it takes more manpower time, additional resources, additional staff. So I think periodically maybe report back to this committee as to how things are coming along with these new best practices. I think all of us would be certainly interested in how that changes and improves.
Right. Well, again, we do anticipate that our 8% lag in catch-up inspections will increase because these senior sanitarians will have more time devoted to administrative quality assurance, and so they'll have less time that they'll be able to devote to their own inspections.
Right. Okay. The next question is, how will this impact, if at all, the restaurants that are being inspected? Will there be new compliance? Will there be new time constraints that are placed on the restaurants? I certainly agree with the random inspections and the fact that they have a protocol that they have to follow, of course. But I'm just wondering if the restaurants, with these changes in how these inspections are conducted, if that's going to be a drag on them as well, per se.
Right. Well, we are only reinspecting a small number of randomly selected restaurants. So it's not every restaurant will receive a reinspection.
Well, I guess what I'm asking, let me rephrase it, is the changes that you're going to be implementing when it comes to your new best practices within food safety requirements, if that's going to impact the restaurants at all, the way you're going to change and improve the way the processes are conducted.
Right. Well, just in terms of what the restaurants need to do to comply with sanitary code, the sanitary codes themselves are not changing. It's we're stepping up our quality control procedures with the restaurants.
I see.
So okay. They won't have to, so there are no additional sanitary codes that they have to comply with. It's just the existing, and we're just doing some additional follow-up with the restaurants to ensure that the inspection was done properly and that it was done.
That's kind of the root of one of my question is the additional follow-up and compliance and, quite frankly, what it's going to mean to the restaurants to work within your new rules, per se.
Well, we will see.
Sure, I understand. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Legislator Lagren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gail, Ben. I'm going to put a plug in. March 2nd, Lagren's, I own a restaurant, as you know, celebrated 40 years. So over 40 years, I've had hundreds of inspections. And as you know, a couple years ago, I had an inspection that was a nightmare. It was an inspection that came in. I wasn't there. Alleged that there were rodent droppings that never were. And the way this works, when you get an inspection, almost every inspection, they write something. There's a couple things that they want you to do. I mean, I don't think in 40 years I ever got one without, you want this wrapped or you want a cover or whatever. And having said that, I just thought, well, she'll get back to me. No contact. And the next thing I got was a letter in the mail to close my business, if you recall. And I want to say you were I called you. You were very proactive. And it's like no contact with the owner, and you get a letter to close your business. 20 people work there, and so we resolved that we would change the policy that there'd be contact with the owner if that. But when this happened, and at my own expense to get an independent inspection from a reputable control pest control. Problem was that there was, it was erroneous. It was never any, you know, it's just alleged and it wasn't true. And we came to terms with that. And here's my question, I don't even know it, that, and when I first started, the internet was not that big of a deal, but it is now, because you can go on a restaurant and see the inspection report. And I guess my question to you, because somebody about a month ago said to me, that report is still up. And when we resolved this, I was assured that that was going to be taken down, and we all agree, why should it be on there? It never happened. Another point, too, I think. When this happened, you sent out your best inspector to go over the entire premises of Loughran's Bar and Restaurant, and they found nothing. That was one, there was nothing written up, that it was immaculate. So I guess my question, is that taken down?
We'll have to check. That was the intention, so we'll check that. Sorry if that is true.
Well, you know, and I guess in fairness that, and I can tell you over the years, I've gone into restaurants, I can't believe they're open. Sometimes you wonder, and in my 40 years, and the health inspectors, this is a model, this is the way it should be. Other than that one inspection, and I guess my concern is, and I'm speaking for all the restaurateurs, that it's a level playing field, that you know, if there is something wrong, you should be contacted. If there is something not right, that there should be a process where you don't get a letter, and I think I got it on Friday. So by the time I addressed this, it was Monday. It's just very concerning. So somebody said that to me a month ago. I hope to God that was taken down.
We will check that today.
All right. Okay. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Legislator Locke. Legislator Dixon, winding it up.
Thank you. And this is just, I had a question last night at my daughter's concert from a parent, so I just, on the hepatitis thing, about who should be tested, because she thought she heard that everybody should be tested. I said, I don't think so. So if you could just clarify that for me quickly on this.
Sure. So this is not related.
Correct. Yes. It's not related to the, yes, to what he didn't find or what didn't. Yes. Correct.
Okay. So the recommendations for hepatitis A is not to test. It's to immunize. So for people who may have been exposed to hepatitis A because they ate at the restaurant between February 27th and March 11th, we are offering a free post-exposure prophylaxis with a hepatitis A vaccine. There's some people that may, for medical reasons, may not be eligible for a vaccine. In that case, we have immunoglobulin to give them. And because of the observation through our surveillance system that we have seen a significant increase of number of reported hepatitis A cases in Erie County in within the past 18 months, we're recommending that to everybody in the county to get a hepatitis A vaccine, get the complete series of two doses, because we never know when this will happen again, and nobody knows if they have, if they'll eat at a restaurant that where they may incur an exposure. And also, we know that for some people, they're fortunate who are infected with hepatitis A, they're fortunate that they don't develop symptoms or typical symptoms of hepatitis A, and so they could be transmitters, and we would never know that. So just as a general precaution, we recommending that everybody receive a hepatitis A vaccine. It's one of the CDC and American Academy of Pediatrics recommended vaccines for childhood, so many children in Erie County are already immunized. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for that clarification.
And we're right at time, and I have a few questions, Joe, so I'm going to shut you off.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, again, I'll make my point that I make consistently with committee days. Yes. The scheduling is done incredibly poorly, especially when we have a lot to discuss.
Okay.
So cutting me off is rude.
No, I'm going to give you the opportunity, in terms of, but I'm going to cut you off.
In terms of a hepatitis A vaccine, how long does that last?
Well, we know that after one dose of hepatitis A vaccine confers protection in 95% of people, and then, 93% of people, and then if you get the second booster dose 6 months later or beyond, that improves it, an extra 5%. And we believe that this is lifelong immunity. We have no evidence that there's any drop in immunity. So it's a very effective and safe vaccine.
So like if it's something that I got when I was, younger or whatever, like it's still, I'm still good?
Well, it depends. This vaccine has been around since, I think, the mid-90s. And so if you were received a shot.
I think I had to get it when I went to college. I think college required it when I.
Right. Well, if you received a shot before the mid-90s to protect against hepatitis A, that was probably the immunoglobulin that only lasts for 6 months. But if you received the vaccine, a shot afterwards, it was probably to lifelong immunity.
I started college in 1999, so, yes. I'm confident.
Okay. But I don't want to make assumptions.
All right. And just to, I don't need you to answer these questions, but if you could get this information back to me, I don't, I'm not here to do your job. I just would like some answers to some suggestions that I would have. Minimum site visits based by territory for your inspectors. Obviously, some have more miles to drive. Some are, restaurants are tighter. Is there a minimum number of site visits that they need to make daily? And then is that checked by their frontline supervisors? Question number two, with listening to all the questions and everything you said, is adequate staffing. Do we really have adequate staffing if your five senior inspectors are inspecting and not managing? And the last thing is, again, I would just like some sort of a synopsis. And it can be via email, via letter, however you wish to do that. The frontline, what exactly are they part of the action plan moving forward? Because in my experience, the frontline supervisors who need to take the ownership of this have the best answers because they deal with it day to day. And I would say you have five people overseeing 20, if I'm correct, in that I think there should be day-to-day communication. Whether it's via phone, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's, that's almost a no-brainer to me to ensure that there's that interaction between that frontline supervisor and the employee that's out, the sanitarian that's actually doing the job. So.
Right. Well, just in terms of the staffing, we currently have, we're getting the job done, and we currently have about an 8% backlog. So, and then we also requested an additional position for a sanitarian in the 2019 budget that was not included in the final budget. So I guess it's really up to the legislature to decide if, if they're satisfied with the current situation or if they want to change that.
Well, and also your length of service from your employees, they have more vacation, more sick time, all of that. So that leaves to Legislator Miller-Williams' comment a gap. There's a gap there. You're 8% behind. Now we're short of sanitarian. Now, I mean, that's going to grow. So again, your planning for future staffing is important.
Right. Well, we did request an additional position.
I understand that.
We did try to plan.
Yes. And other than that, that's all I have. Very quickly, on this topic, though, if we could.
Gail, do you think we should take care of that mid-year here, of filling that position?
Oh, the requested sanitarian?
Yeah.
Well, we requested into the budget because we felt we needed it.
Yeah, but you don't want us to wait till next year, do you?
Well, we requested the position for this year.
Something to consider, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming and answering the questions. We do appreciate your time. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
A motion adjourned by Legislator Miller-Williams. Second?
Second.
Second by Legislator Dixon. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.